Okay, here we are. And Joel Skousen joins us this hour. We had a lot going on since last night, including last night. And as I mentioned before, I would urge all of you to go take a look at that 10-second video clip, because I do think it was a pivotal moment in last night's debate that most people missed. We're happy that someone sent it to me. I've got it up there. It's only 10 seconds long. Donald Trump made one of his most powerful points and final statements, which you'll see. He's one word, he says, and it went over to Hillary at that point. It frosted her. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to say. So she did what she does often. She laughed a little too loudly, a little too oddly, and then went into a freeze. You can see it. And then her upper body began to twitch, and she actually looked like she was shimmying her entire upper body. You don't do that in a debate. It was not a cutesy little move. She went into a mini seizure at that point. Her eyes then frosted. Still, they froze. And finally, she kicked into some kind of a reserve routine that she calls on when she gets in this state of mind. And I would suggest that, because now we know that she was wearing an earpiece, a little speaker, that they were yelling at her, "Hillary, Hillary," giving her some kind of a code word that snapped her out of it, and she began to talk again. Remember the black guy, the handler, Dr. Frankenstein, that people call him now, went up to her on stage when she had a similar episode and froze and told her, keep talking, don't worry, we're going to be here, we're not going anywhere. Something along those lines. But the idea that she was instructed to keep talking, keep, those were code words. And I do believe last night she had a mini seizure, she did freeze, and she was told how to get out of it with that earbud in her ear. No one has put this together yet, but that's my view on it. So take a look at the video, watch her disorientation, watch how she literally freezes and then begins to shimmy her entire upper body. That's an involuntary movement, I believe. And that earbud, when we found that out today, and I put that up this morning, that answered the story. How did she get out of it? They talked her out of it. Just like the guy when he said, keep talking. That's my view. Joel Skousen is back. Hi, Joel. How are you? Thanks for being here tonight.
Well, it's been a hectic day, but glad I was able to finally be with you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I don't know if you've seen this particular piece of video or not. It's 10 seconds long. I've got, it's my third story up there. I'd urge you to take a look at it.
I'm looking for it now. Is it the one laser pointer above that?
No. It's down in headlines. You got to go to the news headlines. And it's where the flashing green headline news stories.
Right. Got it.
It's third one. Another Clinton mini seizure during debate. Go ahead and watch that, and we'll hang here while you watch it. Watch.
Okay, we've got it coming up.
And all of you folks, please do take a listen to what she says and watch.
Okay. Let's talk about two important issues briefly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely. She was being instructed. She was just mouthing words while she was listening. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think I got it.
And, yeah, I think you do too. I will say, however, that Hillary Clinton was strong most of that debate.
Correct. She had him on the defense. You got it. And that's strength.
She was powerfully prepared. But one of the things that's interesting, and I fault his team in failing to prepare Trump for this, there were so many liberal untruths and half-truths and liberal generalities, which are false on its face, that he should have been prepared to counter those rather than the knee-jerk standard stuff that he does, which, you know, should have really gone after some things. I mean, when somebody comes up and talks about a livable wage, you know, you have to say to them, you know, the livable wage is just a myth. I said, hundreds of thousands of people that don't need a livable wage. They live with their parents. They live with the other people that are providing houses. This is just impossible to say that everybody has to have a job that's a livable wage. It's just a myth.
You know, in in the alternative of countering those, and he is a counterpuncher, when a charge is made, which you're describing, a charge, an allegation, a statement, which is an offensive statement, forcing Donald to respond, there might possibly the best way to handle that is not to respond and just dismiss it with, there are some pat phrases you can use. We're not going to talk about that now, Hillary. What we're going to talk about now is Benghazi. What we're going to talk about now, Hillary, is the Clinton Foundation and the $3 billion that has been run through that organization and all the money you earned legally and otherwise in your pay-to-play scam while you were serving this country as Secretary of State. He should have been ready, and he should have overridden Lester Holt, who interrupted him over 40 times, Joel, and was clearly two against one. He should have had none of it. He should have had his own agenda of charges and allegations, because her character is the number one issue in this election at this point in time. He killed her on positions, on answers, on programs, on substance. She had nothing. All she did was attack, and that was it. So he was not prepared properly.
She did have a lot of prepared statements about about policy that were wrong, that he failed to counter. Now, those are true substantive issues on government and policy where he could have shown some professional preparation and being prepared, you know, for these democratic socialist statements that you made.
Well, however you want to phrase it, I don't care. I just don't want to see anybody on the defensive trying to come back from a hole that has been dug for them.
It isn't on the defensive. It's going on the offensive against these virtues.
I gotcha.
The Democrats are so good about throwing out things that sound nice, but
they're lies, though. They're half truths and lies.
Hidden victims to these policies. You need to point out those hidden victims, and that shows that you really understand economics. It shows, that you understand the political and the foreign policy aspect. And you know, he really failed in that regard. One thing that I will say that Hillary Clinton prepared for and really nailed it against Trump was when she pulled out the bankruptcy problems and the people, the little guys, the entrepreneurs, the contractors that he stiffed and he didn't pay. And she even went to the trouble of having an architect in the office who had been stiffed.
In the audience,
You know, and he tried to make the point, you know, maybe I wasn't satisfied with the services, but in fact it turned out to be a beautiful project, and I doubt if that was the problem. You know, what Trump could have prepared for in advance of this is to say, I mean, look, the guy's making $700 million a year. He could have allocated $1 million and said, look, I have allocated $1 million, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to repay as many of those people as I can. You know,
people
I
who had grievances against his corporation.
Yeah, right. I don't have to, because of bankruptcy exonerates me, but out of good faith. I mean, he would have just, that would have been the best $1 million he could have ever spent. People would have just applauded.
Yeah. Well, he's flawed. We're all flawed. And, you know, I'm sure if he had it to do over again, he might well have done something like that. But we have to deal with it here and now.
Sure,
I don't think he lost anything to speak of, but he didn't advance the cause much.
You know, I think that's my basic conclusion for the whole debate. I don't think very many people were swayed one way or the other.
No, it was a dead heat, pretty much. Although on substance, I think in looking back on it, in retrospect, I think he did make the points that counted. He mentioned TPP. He mentioned a lot of things that he's talked about. We know, I think, most of the campaign platforms and concepts that he's pushing. The issue has got to be Hillary's worthiness, and he needs to attack her. And then at the end, and I didn't see the last half an hour plus. I was on the air. But I understand that she gave him four or five big wide openings and he didn't take any of them. And he said he didn't attack Bill because he didn't want to humiliate Chelsea. Chelsea's a grown woman. Chelsea knows what's going on. Come on, Donald. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was really pretty lame. You know, he was trying to flatter, as I've mentioned before, and he's got this weakness for flattery. He thinks that that's the way to, you know, to get
yes.
Him.
Yes.
And we saw him flattering Hillary Clinton. And
He did. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. It's like, remember the snake parable he likes to quote? He was flattering the snake, and the snake bit him. He didn't learn from the story of the snake. Anyway.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. What kind of advice would you give them? They've got two more shots at this. What do you do next time? How do you get that earpiece out of her ear, first of all?
You expose it. He should walk over, put his arm around her and say, "Oh, look, you've got something in your ear."
Yeah, damn right. Anything it takes.
I'll tell you, that would just blow it out of the water. It would just blow
absolutely.
It out of the water.
Hillary, would you mind if Lester Holt looked in your ear and said what he sees or what he doesn't see to the audience?
It would just blow it out of the water.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is cheating. In prize fighting or boxing or anything else, it's like taking an illegal substance. She had an illegal advantage. She should have been disqualified. She's a cheat. Well, so what else is new with the Clintons, right?
Well, I'll tell you what else is new. They've also bought the house next door and forming a compound in Chappaqua, New York.
Yeah,
I think they're going to have separate his and hers houses.
Probably.
They don't have to deal with the other mistresses and mistresses.
God. Well, Huma, yeah. I'm sure, will approve. They had her, aside from the video, which I mentioned at the beginning, they had her pharmaceutically jacked up as high as they can get. And then she had the earpiece, and they worked with that earpiece for weeks, giving her instructions. She knew exactly what to do. And then when she fell into the mini-stroke, the mini-seizure, I should say, they simply ordered her out of it. They had this psychiatrist was on staff, was right there, and they watched, and they knew. She started to shimmy, shake all over, and they gave her the key words, the code words, and they got her out of it. So.
Well, I have a little bit different view on that. I just don't think that's necessarily a mini-seizure, but rather kind of her signal like...
Well, it's a Parkinson's freeze, Joel. That's what they also called it. So we can call it anything you want, but she becomes incapacitated.
It could also be a nervousness that she shows when she's out of ideas and she needs help. She needs someone.
Well, she got off script. Yeah, she lost her script. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Donald's answer, whatever he said to her, knocked her off of her cadence, and she was lost. And so what does she do? She guffaws. She laughs. That's traditional with her.
Yes.
And they came to her rescue with that earpiece. But I do not think that upper body trembling was a voluntary act. I don't. Anyway.
Well, it didn't look to me like trembling. It looked like acting silly, in other words.
But that's not Hillary. Hillary doesn't act silly.
Well,
she's deadly serious.
Seen before, but, combined with that laughing it off, shaking her body, to me that fit somewhat of a nervous reaction, sending a signal.
I hear you. I got it. I understand.
Anyway, just an alternative opinion.
It was, to me, reminiscent of the chicken head problem. And she came out of that very well, very cleverly.
Yeah.
She came out of this one last night. Whatever it was a moment that Trump should have seized, another moment. Kept her off balance, kept going. But he didn't.
I thought it was just hilarious how Lester Holt lost control of that debate.
Oh, yeah.
When they really got into it, and every commentator mentioned, we have never seen this in any national debate ever, that it turned into a real knife fight verbally, and the moderator was just powerless to intervene, and everybody was loving it.
He had no business being there. He was in way over his head. Way over his head. I don't know. He wasn't the right one. The next one... I think Anderson Cooper is going to be involved with it. I don't know if he's the single moderator or not. They really don't have room for two. One is about it. There is so much going on here, but the idea that woman would cheat again, and now she's found out, and is the election commission going to say anything about this? That's the question. Probably not.
No, of course not. They're covering. Look at the debate committee. They're made up exclusively of people who have donated to Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a rigged system. There isn't a single Trump contributor in the entire debate commission.
Wow. Wow. End of story.
Yeah.
Well, I've got the
and
picture
so,
up, so you folks can all look at it.
Commentators and set up the debates, but you know, Trump really is good at winging it. I just wish he had better prepared statements and rather than going back to the same generic claims on the economy about the jobs going overseas, jobs.
Right.
I mean, those are effective to a certain class of people, but there's so much more in the economy that he could have said.
What do we care? Joel, what do we care about his tax returns? What do we care about how much money his father loaned him? What do we care about these things? They have nothing to do. They were just hot buttons that she pushed. They're not relevant.
I would have advised Trump to reject those questions rather than answer them.
Absolutely. Not worthy of an answer. Not on this stage, not tonight, Hillary. I'll write you an email or you whatever
I,
you want
I
to
must,
do.
I must say he did throw a good curveball when he said, you know, even though my tax accountant and lawyer say don't release these until after the audit, I will do so if you'll release the 3,000 missing emails that you deleted.
Now, that was probably his high point, and I agree with you. That was not followed up, and that has not been mentioned in many of the... I don't think I've seen it mentioned in any analysis. That was his best jab.
Lester Holt, to his credit, did follow up and say, now what about the question of those missing emails?
Yeah, well, you saw how she handled it.
And she refused to answer it.
That's right.
She dodged it, and he didn't follow up. Unlike Trump, when he would deny something, he followed up again and again and again. And that's typical of someone
yep.
who claims to be neutral, but
you just put your finger on it. It's grotesquely obvious what went on there. She had hot buttons. She pushed them. These are issues that don't matter to the future of the country. What matters to the future of the country is another 100,000 Somalian and Middle Eastern alleged refugees coming in here who are Muslim, who have no interest in assimilating with this country. Their interest and their driving raison d'etre is to tear it down. That's what they're after. That's relevance. That's what should have been talked about last night. The Clinton Foundation, her using public office to make money. For God's sakes, she's got a list of felonies a mile long behind her that he didn't touch. And just it was just sad. One more like that, Donald, and you're in big trouble. Let's put it that way. And it's time for him to get on the radio. Patty Doyle, who was on last hour, Joel, lives in New York, about an hour outside the city, and she said there are no ads for Trump radio or TV that she has seen for weeks. Hillary all over the place. He's not advertising. I don't know
wow.
if it's a lack of money. Maybe he takes New York
making,
for granted, but he made $13 million since last night. So she said she hears no ads for him. I guess he's New York wrapped. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think he's going for the swing states. I know Ohio has heard a lot of Trump ads, and so is Pennsylvania, so is Michigan.
Right.
So I think he's aiming for the swing states and writing off those big liberal things like New York City that are lost.
If you were advising him in terms of television advertisements, let's say 60, 30-second spots, would you make her health an issue? Would you use a clip of her collapsing with her leg and foot being dragged across the ground and ask the question, with no narration, just put up their text, is this woman fit to be president? That's an easy ad to do. All right, these things are on the table, in my view. I don't think chivalry should keep them off.
I think they're on the table. I would word it very carefully about not being fit.
You wouldn't have to word it at all. Just put up a single little graphic statement. Is this woman fit to be whatever? You don't have to make pass judgment. You don't have to.
No, I agree. I don't think it should be the main emphasis. It should be one of the emphases, but the main emphasis, as you stated before, should be on the corruption of the Clintons. I mean, look at the millions of dollars. How is a person who's running a charitable foundation walking away with millions of dollars, you know, from corporate sponsors? Who pays someone in University of Nevada, Las Vegas, you know, $1 million to come speak to the student body? This is a payoff. This is not a speaking fee.
It's bribery. That's all it is.
It's
bribing
someone.
It's a payoff.
It's a payoff because they're globalist You know, and they get the, you know, the Clintons need money and you're to hire them and they get instructions.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you go to the taxpayers and say, we just spent $1 million on Hillary Clinton for what?
Exactly.
The taxpayers pay these bills in these universities.
That's right.
Now, the corporations can get away with this, but the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, should not have been able to get away with it.
Right. Another thing, Trump last night spent a lot of time kind of hunkered over the microphone. You see the microphone compared to Hillary.
Yes.
She didn't have to lean over. They kept that mic. I bet you they did it intentionally. They kept it short. Or they made the riser so he had to bend over. He was trying to look at her. He ended up at very bad body language. He should have been standing tall, presidential. He shouldn't have been hunkered over, and he shouldn't have been making faces at her. That was silly. He's got to get better counsel and advice. I don't know who's giving it to him, but it was either he failed to follow it or they weren't prepared for it. I don't know. Maybe he gets an earbud. If she won't allow her ears to be inspected, he should take an earbud out of his pocket and stick it in his ear. I'm going to use this until and unless we have accounting as to whether or not this woman is cheating again.
Yes, that's a great point. In fact, he ought to wear a big arrow on his ear, putting no earbud here or something like that.
I'll put a headphone.
Really would embarrass her.
A half a headphone set on, whatever. let's have fun with this. She's got to be mocked. This is not something you can play ball. He tried to play ball with her last night.
Yeah,
and,
he did. It didn't
work. No, and yet he won all but two of the major polls. Yes, he won virtually all the internet polls. So, a lot of them are Trump fans. I understand that. But she's not drawing. No one's going to see her speak.
Well, as one commentator put it, she was arrogant, she was pedantic, she was lecturing the audience, she was smug.
Oh,
and those
awful
things turn off people.
That leering, arrogant sneer of hers, I said it last night, you want to give the woman a knuckle sandwich. You just want to pop her. It's just, wake up. Anyway, I agree. I think that that kind of negativity creeps under people's skin, and they don't like it. It doesn't go away either. They remember the arrogance. And here's Trump trying to answer her, so that's a sympathetic response subconsciously in favor of Trump. He's trying, and there's this leering, sneering, arrogant bitch who is looking at him, and that doesn't work. People don't like that. No class. None.
I agree, yes. I think that's why it didn't go over well, despite the fact that she was much better prepared.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, it was like a teacher lecturing people, and they just didn't like it.
Very good, Joel. Very good. Stand by. We'll be right back in just a couple. Okay, welcome back. Jeff and Joel on the day after, taking a look at the debate and other things. Here's something a little bit off the general topic, but not really. September 11th, 2001, the same day, September 11th, 9/11, 2001, Donald Trump is on record as saying bombs must have been used on the World Trade Center. How many people know that? How many people have seen that video? It's 3 minutes long, Joel. I'm going to play a little piece of it here.
Okay.
This is very, very interesting. I have long said that Donald Trump knew and knows pretty much exactly what happened on 9/11. He will not say it because it's not politically correct at this time in his efforts to be president. But should he become president, I think he will, in fact, step forward with a lot of things that will amaze people. Here we go. This is recorded on September the 16th, or released on September 16th, but comments on 9/11/2001.
Great. Donald, you're probably the best-known builder, particularly of great buildings in the city, there's a great deal of question about whether or not the damage and the ultimate destruction of the buildings was caused by the airplanes, by architectural defect, or possibly by bombs or aftershocks. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it was an architectural defect. You know, the World Trade Center was always known as a very, very strong building. Don't forget, that took a big bomb in the basement. Now, the basement is the most vulnerable place because that's your foundation. And it withstood that. And I got to see that area about 3 or 4 days after it took place because one of my structural engineers actually took me for a tour because he did the building. And
he's talking about the first attack on the World Trade Center in the early 90s when they blew that van up in the basement. So that's what he's talking about right there. Okay.
I can't believe it. The building was standing solid and half of the columns were blown out. I mean, so this was an unbelievably powerful building. If you know anything about structure, it was one of the first buildings that was built from the outside. The steel, the reason the World Trade Center had such narrow windows is that in between all the windows, you had the steel on the outside. So you had the steel on the outside of the building. That's why when I first looked, and you had big, heavy I-beams. When I first looked at it, I couldn't believe it because there was a hole in the steel. And this is steel that was, you remember the width of the windows in the World Trade Center, folks? I think, you know, if you were ever up there, they were quite narrow. And in between was this heavy steel. I said, how could a plane, even a 767 or a 747 or whatever it might have been, how could it possibly go through the steel? I happen to think that they had not only a plane, but they had bombs that exploded almost simultaneously, because I just can't imagine anything being able to go through that wall. Most buildings are built with the steel is on the inside around the elevator shaft. This one was built from the outside, which is the strongest structure you can have. And it was almost just like a can of soup.
You know, Donald, we were looking at pictures all morning long of that plane coming into building number 2. And when you see that approach the far side, and then all of a sudden, within a matter of a millisecond, the explosion pops out the other side.
Right. I just think that it was a plane with more than just fuel. I think, obviously, they were very big planes. They were going very rapidly because I was also watching where the plane seemed to be not only going fast, it seemed to be coming down into the building. So it was getting the speed from going downhill, so to speak. It just seemed to me that to do that kind of destruction is even more than a big plane, because you're talking about taking out steel, the heaviest caliber steel that was used on a building. So these buildings were rock solid. And, you know, it's just an amazing thing. This country is different today. And it's going to be different than it ever was for many years to come.
All right. Pretty wise words.
Yeah, I think he knew what was going on.
Okay, let me go back to the debate. Anything else that comes to mind as you watched it?
Well, you know, I was disturbed by the emphasis on fact-checking. Hillary Clinton started out that, and the New York Times followed up and said they were fact-checking. You know, when I read those fact-checking stuff, boy, talk about mainstream media bias.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
you know, you bring out an alternative piece of true information, and they go back to the establishment, you know, commission said so-and-so, and so it can't be true. But they refuse to discuss fact-checking on a real controversial basis.
It was a gimmick. That's all it was.
Yes, it was.
And part of the whole presidential reality show, as Gerald Celente calls it, it's just silly. It's all showbiz, ultimately. Hillary, when I saw the picture this morning of the earbud, and we know she had one in for that town hall meeting, the presidential, whatever it was, a couple weeks ago. It's just, she's a cheat. What do you expect the Clintons to do but cheat? And that's what they do. There's the proof right there. Look at the picture. Yeah, you've seen it. It's right there at the top of my page. No question. None. All right. So you're advising Trump. Next debate is October... What is it, the 9th or something? Let me see here. October the 9th. All right. How do you recover? Donald has said, I'm going to take the gloves off, so to speak. I'm going to be tougher on her next time. It is said that his daughter, Ivanka, has extraordinary influence over his decisions, his thoughts. One of her best friends is Chelsea Clinton. And I'm wondering if Ivanka told her dad, please don't bring up, Chelsea will be there, please don't bring up Bill's blah, blah, blah. What do you think?
Well, you know, that's very possible. Why would it care to Chelsea unless Ivanka had made that point with her father?
Right.
Because it really doesn't, you know, affect
right.
them. I thought
right.
it would have been great, you know, to, for Trump to address Jennifer Flower and said, you know, I'm sure there's another gentleman up here, former president, that would rather be sitting by you.
That's cute. When he originally said that he was going to invite her and she replied, I will be glad to be there, and then he apparently he withdrew the invitation. I knew something.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. She said, I'd love to go. You know, she responded in the affirmative. She accepted the invitation. And then it was somehow withdrawn, and it was announced that she would not be attending. So the decision was made by somebody in the Trump camp to disinvite Jennifer Flowers. And I felt that was a little odd. She should have been there.
Bill Clinton. Somebody's protecting Bill Clinton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She should have been there. Next time, I would bring Broderick, Willie, Flowers, any of them. I'd put them all in there. Let's just do it. I still say, at this point, we know the basic positions of the candidates. We know their platform. We know their planks. We know what they want to do. The issue is Hillary Clinton's character and her health. That is the number one overriding issue right now. There is fraud being perpetrated against the American public. I think a lot of people, Joel, realize that. And I think that they would welcome a lawsuit filed in federal court demanding that all the video evidence be considered by a judge immediately and an injunction requested to bar her from running until she has a valid neurological, psychiatric, physical evaluation on the basis of potential fraud. The videos of her collapse, the videos of her freezing are indisputably concerning. The video, hell, it was a photograph of her being helped up the stairs. The woman has problems. And I think a suit would be in order.
Well, the trouble with that is that it's very, very difficult to, because it isn't against the law to be in ill health and run for the presidency.
No, it's against the law to lie about it, though, isn't it? Isn't that fraud?
No, it isn't against the law. It's not fraud. There's no financial, relationship. There's no financial consideration to consider fraud. So, you know, people can say an untruth anytime they want to cover their rear end if they want, and it's mm-hmm. not against the law. So
no.
I don't think that's a viable strategy. But I think pointing out, more than anything, you know, Trump could do her the greatest damage by saying, look, I'm a wealthy man. I've worked hard for this. Yes, I've made some mistakes, but I'm still making a lot of money. But it's through productive effort with jobs, et cetera.
Hiring lots of people, yeah.
And Hillary Clinton sits there and she makes, tax returns, $7 million
And what do you
year.
Do, Hillary? How many people do you employ?
That's right. She does nothing except, butter her bread with insider relationships. And that's what he ought to really pound home. This woman is an insider. Nobody pays Hillary Clinton $250,000 or even $1 million for a speech because they're getting any value out of it. This is a payoff for other services rendered for being an insider. And boy, if he would make a powerful statement like that, there would be a lot of people, especially in the Hillary Clinton camp, that would say, that's right. That's why we wanted Bernie Sanders, and they would really sour on Hillary Clinton if he drove that point home.
Bernie has essentially vanished into his third home, his new $600,000 seaside home. He's being a good boy and being real quiet, not saying anything, which I guess after they beat him, that was the ultimatum. Play ball, get a nice home. If you don't, you love your grandkids, you better think about it. And he was hit. I'm convinced he would have mentioned where that enormous wound on his face came from.
Yes, he's definitely succumbed to some kind of pressure because he's just bowed out of the race.
He's gone.
Yeah, I think he's actually through as a politician, in my opinion.
Well, he quit the party. Yeah, I agree. All right, Let's go take a look at Syria. Insoluble, as long as Obama and the Pentagon continue to fund and arm any number of different terrorist groups over there, including the Kurds, who are, I wouldn't call them terrorists. They're trying to survive. The Turks, meanwhile, are taking more and more of Syria, creating what they say is a safe zone. Safe zone for whom? This is not a situation that's going to resolve. The Americans now are calling for, and Kerry called for it. He said the only people who should be allowed to fly in the air above Syria is America and its coalition. In other words, the Russians should not be able to fly. This is really pushing it. How much more will Vladimir Putin take before... Oh, well, he did. I thought that his response with the three-caliber cruise missiles was brilliant. He took out the entire command and control, which was full of Israelis and Americans, Brits, who were running these terrorist groups in Syria near Aleppo.
Well, the only source for that was the Iranian news agency Fars.
Right.
So there was no other corroboration from that whatsoever. Now, I personally doubt it myself, just because I think that Israel is not putting Israelis in the command center. They've got all of their Arab Israeli agents running ISIS and the very detailed groups there running terrorism against Syria.
Wouldn't they have a central location where they all coordinated things?
No, I think that's way, way too dangerous. And
it would be if that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes against anything that Israel has done. I mean, they've done things through much more subterfuge than, direct intervention like that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I really doubt that story, in my opinion. But nevertheless, the bigger story, though, is the U.S. Air Force actually bombing Syrian troops, and claiming they didn't know about it. The Syrians said, that position has been our position for over 2 months. You can't tell me the U.S. didn't know it was there.
Well, Damascus says they have audio recordings now of the U.S. talking to ISIS, announcing that they are going to take out this Syrian army position, and they were plotting and planning and strategizing before it happened.
Well, it proves my point, though, that they've created ISIS in order to get in, and I'm not just saying what Trump is saying now, that they created a vacuum by, destabilizing Iraq. In other words, they actually created ISIS through the help of the Israeli Mossad and their Israeli Arab agents, running the top leadership, at least the terror. I'm not saying that the terrorists themselves know that they're being controlled by the U.S. or British intelligence, but it's very, very clear that ISIS came out of nowhere and suddenly was 50,000, men strong, and that just doesn't happen. It's just impossible. The mere fact that the U.S. refused to bomb any of those pre-positioned depots of weapons and ammunition in Iraq proves that they were working for the U.S. The fact that the U.S. only has bombed one oil convoy from ISIS and has never bombed a single one since, proves this was just tokenism after the Russians embarrassed them. But what's changed in the war are two things. First of all, there's a lot more special forces in there than the U.S. is admitting. And now they're telling the Russians these are no-fly areas because our forces are in there. And so they're increasingly limited Russia and Syria can bomb. But they aren't limiting what they bomb in terms of aid convoys, in terms of hospitals and other things, and they blame it on the Russians. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced the U.S. is doing these bombings just in order to taint them, just as the U.S. gave chemical weapons, sarin gas, through Turkey and Saudi Arabia to various rebels. There's more shipments on the way. They can blame that on Assad. So this is a very, very serious turn event. As I said to you before, I think we mentioned at the end of the last show, I think what's happening in Syria by the U.S. bombing the Syrians was to scuttle the peace agreement so that they wouldn't have to go through with their agreement with the Russians to share intelligence. They cannot share intelligence. The Russians are going to laugh them off the table. If they come through and show a skeletal list of ISIS targets that don't really exist, the Russians are going to know that the U.S. is covering for ISIS. So it's something the U.S. cannot but agree that yes, we're going to share intelligence because that appears that we're really sincere in fighting ISIS, but they can never go through with it. They can agree on paper, but they can never go through with it. It'll expose their hand.
Got it. All right. Very good. Middle East, I don't see any resolution here.
I don't know how.
Again, I go back to Vladimir Putin. How much more will the Russians take? Now, I'm not saying that they aren't planning ultimately and manipulating and doing things that you and I have talked about for years. But they really are poking the bear. There's no question they're poking them. They're pushing them. Kerry, the Pentagon, NATO, they've got all these troops, all these planes, all these weapons systems along the Russian border. What's Russia supposed to do about that when under the United Nations Charter, they have every right, if they feel that their national sovereignty is at risk, to go beyond their border within a certain limited range to remove the problems that they are concerned about? That's legal under the United Nations Charter. So they could cross their own border, take out these missile systems that are supposedly defensive in nature, which everyone knows they aren't. What do you think's going to happen here?
Well, actually, they couldn't under any guise of UN intervention because
Am I wrong?
Across from their border, there's countries in between that have been ceded to the West. And, of course, we know in the phony fall of the Soviet Union, they intend to take back those weapons. They have puppet presidents in most of those countries.
Right.
They're starting to show their colors.
Right.
Including the Ukraine, in my opinion, Poroshenko is a Russian
puppet, not a
Western puppet.
Well, he's whatever he is.
All his best friends are Moscow oligarchs.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Tymoshenko. She was a Moscow puppet. The same thing with everyone. That's why the corruption in Ukraine that was present in the Communist Party never ended after the end of the Communist Party.
Country is absolutely bankrupt now. It's the poorest country in Europe. It has been looted from stem to stern, and Tymoshenko now is not wearing her angelic braids anymore. I saw a picture of her with her hair down, rather normal looking, although I wouldn't call her normal. This whole thing is really ugly when you think about it. Here's Ukraine guarding Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles with Ukrainian special forces troops in launch bases in Ukraine. And they're still taking care of these missiles. So it's a very odd and tenuous situation. In the East, I had Russell Bentley on the program, an American from Texas who's fighting in Donetsk with the people in the East. He said that Putin has made it very clear that he will not allow the dismemberment of the Luhansk People's Republic or the Donetsk People's Republic. And we know that the Crimea is off limits. There's an enormous bridge being built to it, a land bridge across the waters. That it's a marvel of engineering.
It is. Putin is having to simply put Ukraine on hold so far while he's dealing with Syria. And I'm convinced that he really doesn't want to let Syria fall to the globalists, because he knows that they'll unleash Israel against Iran, and then Iran will fall as well. So I think for long-term strategic purposes, he's going to make sure that Syria doesn't fall. Now, he's got a much more difficult position now that the U.S. is moving troops in there and telegraphing to the Russians, you can't hit this area and you can't hit this area. Because
How far does that go? And when do they start saying, yeah, you can't fly over this part of the country or that part of the country? Hillary Clinton is saying, she said it several times that I've witnessed, and I've run it, if I were president, I would order those Russian planes shot out of the sky immediately. This is crazy talk.
Yeah, and I think the Russians are going to have to shoot down a few American planes to make their point. They've got the missiles to do it. How far they can be pushed into a corner by this globalist operation, and as a former fighter pilot, I don't say this because I hold any ill will against the American pilots who don't know what they're doing.
The
targeting they're being given.
No, they're just doing their jobs, and they don't know what the hell the targets are. You're right.
That's right. So But I just think that the U.S. is being extremely devious by, you know, hitting hospitals and aid convoys and blaming it on the Russians.
Yeah.
And even though I'm no fan of Putin or the Russians,
right.
I find this completely unacceptable that you actually play this false flag stuff, and the U.S. is getting to be the expert in it.
Okay, let me jump very quickly to the South China Sea. The Chinese doing amazing things, turning these reefs and atolls into islands, full-blown islands with 9,000-foot runways. They're making them into tourist destinations now for Chinese workers. They've got six ocean liners that they're going, tour ships, cruise ships, are going to use to take China workers to these islands to get dual use out of them. They are doing some really amazing things. I don't know what can be done about it. Not much. Depends on how far China wants to push it, I guess.
I think we have to remember that the reason that they're building these bases out of little atolls that almost nothing is because there is 9 or 10 other countries that have already claimed all the bigger land pieces
Correct.
In the East China Sea.
That's
so
right.
You see, China has the least of the claims there.
Yeah.
Despite the military.
And they don't
presence.
Have the Spratlys. The Spratlys are legitimate islands. Big ones. Philippines control some of them, claim them. So the Chinese are making their own. I greatly enjoy watching these things being built. I think it's fascinating to me.
Well, it's going to take a blockade to blockade the Chinese out of the area, and of course the U.S. will not do it. They want to, of course, allow China to build a rationale towards World War III. They just don't want to, the U.S. just doesn't want to start it.
Joel, here's the last question. Do you think the Americans really want a war with China over the South China Sea, for example? Do we really want a war with North Korea? What do we want? What are we doing there?
They don't want a war, but they do want a first strike against the U.S. military that they can then goad the Western world into joining a militarized global government. They want that first strike, and they intend to stop any further strikes after that, but not until the first strike falls.
Ah, so they're
falling. The difference between wanting a war and a first strike.
Very interesting. Very interesting analysis indeed. Okay, my friend, thank you for being here tonight. I know you're awfully busy, so are we, and it's always good to get together with you. Talk to you next time, let's see, on the 21st of the month, I guess. No, that's past. No, wrong. Hold on.
We're into October now.
You're scheduled for October 4th. The next debate is the 9th, so maybe we can get you on the 11th, the day after, to get some more of your expert analysis. Thank you, Joel.
You're welcome, Jeff.
All right, good night. Okay. Wow. Now, and if you were wondering about the inhalations that Donald Trump was making, breathing through his nose, inhaling, he was taking deep breaths because that's a good thing to do in a stressful situation, to oxygenate your body. But also, trust me, whoever was running the audio was turning that microphone up to make sure that everyone heard the inhalations. If you notice later on in the debates, you didn't hear them. So just another little trick to try to make Donald Trump look bad. It's quite a wide-ranging operation. And we will say thank you at this point and come right back tomorrow night, and we'll have another conversation about all of this madness as it continues. So take care, and you know where we'll be in the meantime.